And we're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 7. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. And I want to talk about some things that are very important, some areas of living for God that are very, very needful that we understand. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Everybody said, called to be saints. There's a calling there. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, if you'll turn there with me this morning. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Somebody said, called to be saints. Amen. Does anybody have a guess about what we're going to talk about this morning? Called to be saints. Well, praise God. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. And let's get into the word of the Lord today. Father, we thank you for your holy word. And Lord, I pray that it'll be more than a shout this morning, but it will be something that gets deep into our spirit, deep into our hearts this morning. Help us to understand and establish a long-term relationship with you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Called to be saints. And I guess in order to understand this, we need to first look at and see what it means to be a saint. The word saints here in the scriptures that we read means physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, and consecrated. To be holy, the word holy comes up in different in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And so when we look at the word saint in the New Testament, it does not refer to someone who has been crowned a saint and has the power to intercede on the behalf of men. The saints are not canonized people that we pray to, but are common people who have chosen to live for the Lord. Amen. They've got something down deep inside of their hearts. Some believe that you can pray to Mary, you can pray to Joseph, you can pray to other saints. Amen. But the Bible does not give us that anywhere. There is only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Somebody said amen. Amen. Only one mediator. Mary's not our mediator this morning. Joseph is not our mediator this morning. Well, praise God. But Jesus Christ is our mediator today. And if we have a need, we just go to him and he will supply abundantly above and beyond. Praise God. Why go somewhere else when you've got the connection? Praise God. And Jesus is our connection to the answered prayers that we need. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to preach to the saints because we have a high and we have a holy calling to live for the Lord and to be faithful to him. Now, if I could just get that one thought into your mind this morning and let that be a major part of what we're talking about here today, it is a high and a holy calling just to live for God, just to have the Holy Ghost, just to walk with God, just to be a part of the church. It is a high and a holy calling. Amen. And there's no higher calling than to be a saint. Amen. I'm preaching to the saints this morning, and I myself am a saint. Amen. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it simply means that we have chosen to live for God. We're here this morning because we chose to be here. We want to be here. Amen. We want to be here this morning, and that's why we got up and got ready and came to the house of God, because we see this thing of living for God as very, very precious. We look at it, and we see it this morning. We see it this morning as the highest calling of our life. If everything else, if we lose everything else, we cannot lose our calling to be a saint of God and to walk with God. Philippians chapter 3, and I've got a number of scriptures this morning. Philippians 3 and verse 13. If you'll turn, I'll wait for you this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, this is the great apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament in your Bible. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so, if we are otherwise minded, and as you walk with the Lord and you get miles down the road, sometimes there are things that come along that will get you to be otherwise minded, where your mind gets off of walking with God, your thoughts go in a different direction, and it's easy to get cold in your spirit. And you might as well say amen, because if you've lived for the Lord any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. And so he said, if we are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What's he going to reveal to us? He's going to reveal to us the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have to go back again and again and again to the high calling to be a saint of God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so I like to look at scriptures when I'm trying to understand the full context, and this is really a principle of Bible study, is to find the first place in the Bible where something is mentioned, and that is called the first mention. And the first two places in Scripture that this word saint is found is in the book of Deuteronomy. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 33 and verses 2 and 3, if you'll turn there with me this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 2 and 3. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints, or 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at their feet, every one shall receive thy words. And so in verse 2, it brings out the word saints. And in verse 3, it brings out the word saints. And in both cases, it refers to something that is holy. In both of those words can mean something that is holy. And it also means a holy sanctuary, a holy place. A dwelling place, and surely there is nothing greater than to be called a saint, and by being called a saint of God, we become the sanctuary of God, a holy sanctuary. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. A holy sanctuary unto God, a place where he can reside. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul again writes here, What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. So our body belongs to God, our spirit belongs to God, and we have been given our body and our spirit. Our body is our physical person, our spirit is our attitude and the kind of person that we are. And the Bible says that we are to glorify God with our body and our spirit. And I don't know about you this morning, but that sounds like a pretty high calling. Amen. Sounds like something that's pretty high, higher than anything we could ever have in this life, higher than becoming a millionaire or a billionaire, higher than any accomplishments that we could do or achieve in this life. Amen. The highest thing that we could ever do in life is to be called a saint. Amen. That's why we have to have the Holy Ghost. And he said it right there, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And so we need to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when we receive the Holy Ghost, and it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter what place in life you're coming from. Amen. When God fills you with the Holy Ghost, he fills you with something that is extraordinary outside the bounds of normal in this world. And what's normal in this world is really not normal, but you understand what I'm saying this morning. And so when we receive the Holy Ghost, when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, and we begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, it's a whole lot more than just speaking in tongues. It's a whole lot more than just a good feeling, or much, much more than just having something that we've never had before. Too many take it lightly like that. But what we've got to understand and get a hold of today is that we have to maintain that high calling of being a saint of God, a housing, amen, a sanctuary, our body and our spirit, which is a sanctuary for Almighty God. What an honor and a privilege this morning. Amen. Praise God. Very uncommon and very precious. Amen. And saints are just common people like you and I that have something very uncommon and something very precious in our life. It's a treasure. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Turn there with me this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7, for God, everybody said God. That's a big subject right there that encompasses everything. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that would be in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Praise God for that. All right, he shined in our hearts. There's a reason he shined in our hearts, and it is to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or in the person of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so in order to understand what it means to be a saint of God, we've got to understand what has been given to us, what has been endowed upon us in our born-again experience. Praise God. Amen. We have a treasure in us today, and the treasure is the knowledge. It is the light, and it is the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. When we understand who Jesus is this morning, then we understand how high of a calling it is to be in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And if you have the Holy Ghost this morning, then you are in Christ Jesus. And He has a tremendous work for you to do in your life. Praise God. Hope y'all will help me here this morning. But there are some things that that are in the saints. And I want to use scripture this morning. Nothing more powerful than that. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 4. Here is the result of understanding what it means to be a saint of God. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. And so we give thanks and we sing. Amen. Now, I don't understand. I really don't. I do when someone comes and they're not feeling up to par. But I'm telling you this morning, we need to get a hold of what it means to sing unto the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Singing unto God. You can sing unto God on your way to work. You can sing unto the Lord during the course of the day. And certainly when we come together to worship the Lord, to hear the preaching of the Word of God, we need to give ourselves over to singing. Why? Because I'm a saint of God. I have something inside of me that nobody else has in this world. Amen. I have God's Spirit. I have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I have the understanding of eternity and what it means to live for Him in this life. And so saints sing. Amen. We don't sit on our hands, praise God, when we come to the house of the Lord, but we lift up our voices. And you say, well, I'll just listen to the song. No, there's something about actually singing the song and it resonating with your spirit. Come on, somebody, help me this morning. Amen. We need to be joyful when we come to the house of God. Amen. And get ready to sing unto the Lord. There's nothing greater in the eyes of God than people that have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, coming to the house of God in the midst of trouble, in the midst of situations in your life, and lifting up your voice with all of your heart. Well, praise God. I feel Him here this morning. And you begin to sing unto the Lord. And it's more than just you singing. When we all get together and we sing unto the Lord, it's a beautiful thing. Amen. I think every now and then we ought to just sing a song a cappella so we can all hear one another. Praise God. Nothing like it. And you look around and you know that they are not, they don't have a perfect situation in their life. And you know that they're not coming from a position of high canonization. Amen. But they're just ordinary common folk and they're singing right along with you. There's something about the unity of singing when we come together to worship God. Oh, sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of His. Praise God. Oh, it's so easy to preach when you feel the Holy Ghost. And I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Psalm 31 and verse 23, a little bit further into the book of Psalms here. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Amen. So when we are saints of God, the Bible says that we love the Lord. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. Now, what is the greatest commandment in the entire Bible? What is the most important commandment to God? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. And to love your neighbor as yourself. But when we are born again, of the water and of the Spirit, it is God's desire that we fall in love with Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not joining a church. I'm not going to show a membership card when I come into the front door of the church. Some places, if you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, which is not scriptural, but you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, then they have a church vote to see if you are good enough to be a member. And I've thought about that over the years, and I thought, what if everybody doesn't like you and they don't vote? Then you can't get in the church and go to heaven. Well, I'm telling you what, I'm glad today nobody had to vote on me to be in the church. But when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, praise God, I want you to know this morning you were stuck with me.
Amen.
Praise God. And so if the Lord loves us enough to fill us with the Holy Ghost, amen, then we should love one another as well. But we should love God. Aren't you in awe today of what God has done in your life?
Amen.
How many of you this morning have ever been healed by God? Look at the hands that are lifted here this morning. Amen. You know what? That's not just a quick lift your hand in the air. It ought to be a lifting of our spirit that says, I love God. He helped me when I needed help, and I didn't deserve the help, but He came and He helped me. Praise God. We need to love God. And when I say we need to, that really kind of puts it in the wrong light. Amen. It's easy to love Him.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with Him. There's nothing about Him that will hurt me or any of that. But the Bible says God is love. And so we receive love from God. And it's only natural that we give love back to God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It shows a sign of appreciation and thankfulness that God has helped us and brought us to where we are. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 9. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. In other words, you're going to have everything you need in life when you fear the Lord. And what is the most important commandment or the beginning of knowledge? The Bible said it is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, how can you fear someone that you love? Amen. Well, it's an understanding. It's an understanding of God's power, of God's ability. In one of the Gospels, Jesus said, don't fear them that can kill the body only, but fear Him who can destroy your body and your soul in hell fire. Amen. And so there is a understanding, and that's where this knowledge comes from, or what the knowledge is applied to, is that we fear God, but we love God at the same time. Amen. He's the one that I want to be closest friends with.
Amen.
All right, let's go to another scripture. Psalm chapter 145. Kind of working our way through Psalm here. Then we'll switch over to Revelation. Psalm chapter 145 and verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and all thy saints shall bless thee. And so when we recognize our high calling of God, amen, then we naturally will bless the Lord. How do you bless the Lord? Well, I've got a feeling that the way you bless the Lord is the way you bless other people. Amen. Is there somebody that you love that just one day out of nowhere, you just say, I want to bless them. I want to do something nice for them. How many of you have ever done that? A few of us here this morning have done that. Well, if you haven't done that, then it'd be a good idea to do that. Amen. It would be a good idea once in a while just to do something nice for your mother, like clean your room, praise the Lord. My, it's gotten quiet in here all of a sudden. And when she checks your fever, she checks you with a thermometer to see if you're sick. Amen. And you're not sick. What's going on? Well, Mom, I just love you and I just wanted to bless you. I'll tell you what, whatever you ask her, she's going to give it to you. Praise God. Some of you don't believe me here this morning. But that's all right. Consider these things. Think on these things, as the scripture says. Amen. And so what we do when we are saints is we think about Him and we come to the place where we say, you know what, He has done so much for me and I've done so little in return. I just love Him for who He is. I want to bless Him. And I believe we can bless Him by worshiping Him. I think we can bless Him by just telling Him how we feel about Him. Amen. Just to verbalize out loud, Lord, I love you more than anything in all of this world. I'll tell you what, those are not words that just set on nothing, but they go right straight to the heart of God. Amen. I FaceTimed my grandson and my daughter yesterday, and we were about finished, and he got into this bye-bye mode, you know, bye, and he's waving, and then I heard him say, bye, Grandpa, and I thought, what does that little boy want? He can have anything under the half of my kingdom. Amen. Just something about it. I don't know what it is. They get a hold of your heartstring. And I think it's the same with God when we just tell Him how much we love Him. I think we miss out on blessing sometimes when we don't hear the Lord say, when He's actually saying it, but we don't hear Him say, what do you want? And I'll give it to you. Praise God. That's right. That's scriptural this morning, because the Bible says that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Amen. And the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, glory to God. All thy works shall praise thee, and the saints shall bless thee. Amen. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar that was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. I think it's easy for us to think that when we pray, our prayers just dissipate into the atmosphere. Maybe the Lord hears it for just a moment, and then He moves on to more important things and forgets about our prayers. But it doesn't matter who you are here this morning. If you will lift your voice and you will just tell God, God, I love you. If you will just go to Him and worship Him, or call upon Him, there is something about it. It's a little nugget of incense that is placed in a place where the angel can ascend it before the altar and the throne of God. I don't know how many millions and billions of prayers have been prayed to the Lord, but there's not a one of them that have fallen short. They're all combined together, and the day will come when that angel will come before the throne of God and he will pour out the incense, and it will be a sweet, sweet, sweet smell in the nostrils of God. Amen. And he will bless and he will move. Your prayers are not going to go unanswered. Praise God. Psalm chapter 149. We'll jump back to Psalm 149 and verse 5. It says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. This is what we can do to the enemy of our soul. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. And so when we understand who we are as saints of God, then we can understand the authority that God has given to us. Amen. There is authority in you, and that is the Holy Ghost that's inside of us. And we have the authority this morning to be joyful. Somebody said joyful. And to sing aloud upon our bed. Everybody said to sing. Amen. And then high praises. Everybody said high praises. And a two-edged sword in his mouth. Amen. That two-edged sword is the Word of God. Amen. We have the Word of God. We have the ability to please God with our worship and our joyful singing unto Him. Praise God. And whether you realize it or not, when you do that and you worship God and you give Him your whole life, amen, then we have the ability to bind the kings, to bind the princes of darkness with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, amen, and to execute upon them the judgment that is written. Praise God. We have authority. We have spiritual authority this morning, and I hope that we can get a hold of this. It is not the will of God that we be controlled by fear. Amen. Not the will of God that we live under a cloud of depression our whole life, because we are a saint. I am a saint of God. I am a child of God. Amen. And He has given me authority. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 8. And I'm going to be finishing here shortly. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth, everybody said preserves the way of his saints. Amen. Preserve means to keep it in that same place from now on. And he preserves the way of his saints. There is a preservation. Amen. This is not supposed to dry up, get dead, dry, dull, and boring, and just blow away. Praise God. But it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I love Him as much or more today than the day that I gave my life to Him. I hope that we could all say the same thing. Amen. And we could say that it's better now than it was then. Amen. Not because of circumstances, but because of the relationship of a saint. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. I've got you jumping all around here this morning. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Praise God. And so when it comes down to the understanding of being a saint, amen, God looks at us differently than we might look at one another. Praise God. When we look at one another, we see the faults and the flaws. Most of the time we look in the mirror and we don't see our own flaws. But if we look closely at the Word of God, we'll understand that we're all in this together. We're all in the same boat together. Praise God. And when the Lord sees us, He sees us as wearing robes of white. Why? How could he do this? He does it because He doesn't see beneath the covering. The robe of white, amen, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the grace of God that is upon us. And so when the Lord looks at us, He doesn't see us in our faults and our shortcomings, but he sees the robe that he's put upon us. Praise God. A robe of white. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. This is what Jesus did, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amen. Thank God. He humbled himself. Everybody said he humbled himself. Praise God, he humbled himself. We need to humble ourselves. I'm going to finish here in just a moment, but I'd just like to say this morning that in order to be called to be a saint of God, you must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit, and we become a sanctuary unto God. We become a sanctuary. Amen, that houses the presence of God. And what it ought to do to us is not make us feel like we are better than anybody else because we have received this, that, or the other from God. Don't get the feeling that somebody else is better than you, maybe because they received a healing and you didn't, or they are used of God in some way and you're not, seemingly. I want you to know this morning we need to just understand the position of sainthood. Amen. I'm a saint of God. I'm called of God. Amen. And it is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Somebody smile just a little bit this morning because you're a saint of God. Let's stand together.